Hello and welcome to ArtVox, a series of conversations with creatives from Australia and overseas, having a chat with me, Rebecca Wilson. Today I'm speaking with Bernadette Trella. Bernadette is a practicing painter. She studied fine arts and visual arts, including postgraduate studies from the Sydney-based institutes NAS, SCA and COFA. Bernadette has been a finalist in the Salon de Refusé and the Paddington Art Prize, among many others. She's won the Waverley-Willara Art Prize and the Northbridge Art Prize. Bernadette's solo exhibitions have included shows at Mary Place, Ivan Doherty and Verge Gallery at Sydney Uni. Her work has been shown in a range of group exhibitions at NAS, COFA and SCA and many other locations since the late 1990s. Bernadette's practice references Northern European romantic sensibilities and the notions of the sublime while exploring ambiguity in paint and surface. You can visit Bernadette's website and social media pages to see more of her work online, and you can see works in the flesh at Bondi's 2026 gallery. Welcome, Bernadette.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
It's really lovely to get a chance to talk to you. We've known each other for many years. We've tried and tried to do a podcast, so it's really great to be making it happen. And
great.
First of all, for people who are listening, I'd like to say, you know, you're primarily a painter. Can you describe your creative process?
Yes, it's, I would say I'm an intuitive painter. I'm quite spontaneous. I work rapidly in multiples, and I'm very responsive to my environment and my feelings and my moods and emotions. I love the process of paint. I've loved paint since I was a little girl. The feeling of paint and everything like that has always fascinated me, and brushes and things like that. I've always admired painters, and I would always aspire to be a painter's painter. I love the seriousness of painting, when it's really taken seriously, when it's really cerebral, and I see paintings that just, you know, astound me. And I don't think that's easy to achieve, and it's not something you see all the time, but it's that impossible sort of aspirational thing that I think some painters have, that I would have. And the way you have to remove your ego, but your ego is so caught up with painting as well, is very interesting. I have also always loved the social side of painting and art gallery openings and art galleries and how people come together. And I've also always gained a lot of comfort and consolation from paintings and other painters as well. So painters are my best friends. It's all very much a holistic sort of thing for me. That's what I aspire to. And now I'm away from, you know, openings and galleries and all of that type of thing, and I'm in an isolated sort of area. I've had to be a little bit more real sometimes too about painting. And then I think as you get older, you become more real about it, because it gets harder in some ways. You don't have all of the immediate sort of stimulation from the social sides of it and everything, and you're forced to confront yourself and your paintings in a different context. But there is a point where you just have to kind of collide with what you're doing in your paintings and see if you can reconcile it and keep on going.
There's a lot in what you're saying there. We could go off on a lot of different tangents. I was thinking primarily at the beginning of what you were saying there, you're talking about inner landscape as much as you are talking about outer landscape.
Definitely, yeah.
It's very much about your relationship to the paint and then your relationship to your inner landscape as well.
My relationship to being a painter as well. My relationship to painting, being a painter, the world of painters and painting, but yes, it's the whole thing, and it's so important to me, and I think to a lot of painters, it's really, really important, that whole thing, and it gives you, hopefully, it gives you a bit of authenticity and authority in what you do, but it's not just that simple, is it, Beck?
I was going to ask you this question later on, but I think it seems right to ask it now. What is it that keeps you engaging as a painter? Why do you keep painting?
Force. It's a force. I think it's a force. That's the first word that's come to mind for me, that I'm forced. It's forceful. It's a force that carries you, and probably a determination. And I hate the word struggle. I hate people talking about the struggle of paint and painting and things like that. It's more, for me, it's more of a force that I'm forced on, and the word has all these different meanings. And plus, I like it, and I like how it makes me feel. I like doing it. I find it always really interesting, and it connects you to something. It connects you to other things as well, I think. I love other painters. I love the language of painting, the visual language, the painting language, the narrative. Everything that comes from painting to me is worthwhile.
Yeah, I think a lot of painters would relate to that. It makes their life worthwhile. And with that notion of force, I guess that's this internal drive, you have this need to create. And what you're talking about there too, with the layers of thought and engagement, probably leads me to the other thing I was going to ask you, which is study is important to you. Studying art has been important to you. You've studied a lot, and you've got an MA. You've got an MA in coursework. You've got an MA in coursework. You've got the MA in research, and a whole lot of other study, as well as your own writing about your work that we were talking about just at the top of the when we just were saying g'day to each other. How does that influence your work?
Oh, for someone like me who's quite, believe it or not, I'm a little bit insecure, it validates, it gives me structure to work, a structure to work from. It's like it reinforces things that I do. So if I go off, I couldn't be someone who just picked up a paintbrush and just drew and thought that suddenly I was a painter. I had to have the outside sort of influence and validation and structure and encouragement that study has given me all along, because I would have just walked it off. I'd never have taken myself seriously if I was – this is really strong, but I don't know that I would have taken myself very seriously if I was a self-taught – I was a self-taught artist. Isn't that a terrible thing to say? I may have, because I don't know what the trajectory would have been, but this was the way that I kept going, in times when we met at art school and things like that. That was just the biggest tick, I think, that I ever had, going to National Art School, East Sydney Tech, and just looking around and talking to people and just going, oh, finally, this is it. This is where I've been trying to get to. Yeah.
You found your people.
yeah. All of that, that group of artists that I finally found myself with through a series of mishaps and funny goes at it, that I finally found myself in that group too, which is a really special group of artists, no matter what. Everybody was good. It was a really good sort of grounding too. And I'd done lots of other little courses and things like that. And by then I'd started mixing with artists as well. So, it's the walk, it's the fake it till you make it type of thing, but it's also when you're faking it, then you make it into an art class or an art school or whatever, and then you feel like you're starting to make it. And it's, I don't know, it's for some people, I think it's reinforcement. It's important.
I think that you look for the intellectual engagement. That's what it seems like to me. Like you're
very much the psychological and intellectual engagement. I really need that, and I really like that. It inspires me. It's really important. Especially the psychological stuff sometimes as well, but definitely that the conversation. Yeah, I don't always feel I can match it or I can come up to it with some artists and some people and some institutions. I'm kind of grappling with some of it. But if I go to a quiet place and I just focus, then I can get my head around some things. You might remember art school where there would be lecturers and you'd be listening to them and they would be using, you know, art speak, the art language and whatever, and it'd be like, and you'd be trying to decipher some of the, you know, the language and what they were talking about.
Yeah.
And then I'd break some of that down and I'd go, oh, right, that doesn't really make any sense. But,
deliberately but, so. Yeah. Deliberate tactics, I think, to alienate people mm-hmm. and create. I think it's a form of deliberate tactic to alienate yeah. people and to create a sense of the elite. And actually, right. I think there's been a big pushback against that kind of talk. I think now
right.
people
yeah.
people
it seems
want
old fashioned now.
Maybe it was just product of its time.
Yeah, you can get caught up in those words becoming more important than the actual creative process.
Do you see yourself as a landscape painter, or do you keep genres out of it?
Yes and no. It's really hard. I go to say yes, but it's not. That's not really it. I feel that the landscape is it's like a great launching pad. It's a great place to start, and then you see where everything goes. So initially, I started painting landscapes because I was I wanted to be taken seriously. People respond really well to landscape painting, I think. They, you know, and we came from that, you know, atelier base. Not that I was painting landscapes at National Art School, really. I did look at them. I like them. They're very accessible. I mean, people respond to them one way or another. They can carry. I liked the idea of place, time, memory, all of those things that artists talk about in landscape painting. I wanted them to be more than landscapes, of course. Wanted them to be metaphors for feelings, experiences, emotions, and things like that. And I wanted them to be ambiguous as well, so people could respond to them with their own interpretations. I go off on tangents and paint more figurative and leave the landscape, but I always come back to the landscape.
I noticed recently some of your posts on your Limerence, Limerence Gallery page?
Limerence Gallery.
It does seem to me like there's a bit of a shift going on at the moment. You might not want to talk about it while you're painting, I suppose, because it seems like you are painting quite a lot at the moment. Am I right?
Yes, I am, and I don't know what that shift is. Like, I don't know where it's going. I hope it's going somewhere good. Yeah.
Are you painting for an exhibition at the moment?
I have some work going that I'm trying to get together for Gallery 2026, Martin Emder's Gorgeous Gallery. So I've had some work there and I'm working on some more work for her. So I have probably, I would say, about 30 works in the works at the moment, and some massive canvases that I've got going also. But they're all in, they're not, they're all halfway. And also there's a show coming up in Orange with a group of regional artists doing some small works for that as well. And I'm really excited because I like the artists that are in that, and it's regional artists coming together, which is really good.
Yes, that's going to be fun. So that'll be 6th of September at Peasley Street Gallery in Orange. So you participated in an exciting project in recent times, one that I thought was a really interesting challenge for any artist. So you were involved in a collaboration in a response to the Telemann Fantasies with musician Diana Doherty, one of Australia's finest oboists.
Oh, she is fabulous.
And so you were making artwork, you were making paintings to correspond with this series of music that she was going to perform. And did that end up being a live performance at Eucaria in Mount Barker in Adelaide? Like, were you actually painting
yes,
on stage?
It actually did.
Wow.
Yes.
Can you talk to us about how that all happened? Because I know that would be stressful, I reckon.
That was so difficult. I was absolutely terrified. I was completely out of my element and out of my league. The group of musicians were some of the most impressive individuals I have ever encountered. So professional, so at the top of their game, really focused and so much fun. They were just brilliant people and so inspirational. I did the 12 pieces of music by Telemann, and they were medieval. So I was listening to them and painting, and it was very, very challenging. And there were colours to each of the pieces. And, you know, I'm quite a tonalist. I'm not a colourist, or I would never consider myself a colourist. So I was very challenged and very tentative, I think, at times. She played the 12. They're not really long pieces. And we did them, I did them in boards and transported them, because it was, the idea was we were thinking of, to actually work out how to do it with music, to whether to paint them while she was performing them was not going to work. So we had to work out how we would do it. So what I ended up doing was doing the 12 pieces from a studio at home and then transporting them. And then we had them just on and with black covering, and we took them off for each piece of music. It was amazing. And to be for, I think, 4 days, 5 days, we were all living together, eating. I was listening to the most incredible musicians and music I've ever heard. I was Sydney Symphony Orchestra, Melbourne Symphony Orchestra, all these incredible people from these different groups together, and it was a hoot. That was just an experience that I, that was just out of the blue.
That leads me to something I meant to ask you before, actually, Bernadette. You were saying, you know, that it gets harder as you keep going over time.
Right.
And so, maybe, do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because I was going to say, well, the success is in the continuing to create. That's how I see it.
And it definitely is. That's a great way to look at it. I mean, when you're struggling a bit, or you're having a bit of a rough trot or whatever, I don't think you see the success in continuing to do it. But I've always believed that, yes, it definitely is. If you're still painting after 30 years or 20 years of art school, no matter what, that is... success, then you're a painter, you're an artist, because you have to live as well. You have to continue existing as a person in this world, and the way you do it differs, and the opportunities you get differ. So yeah, I don't know. I think as you get older, it gets more difficult. Oh, everything can get more difficult as you get older, but maybe in some ways it gets easier too, in that it's just you settle into it in a way, but I don't mean complacently. What is it? You're sort of learning to incorporate your life around your art, and you have to do that, otherwise you'll just walk away. So everything you do, and that's where you have to be strategic, is that everything you do has to leave space and has to leave that room for you to be a painter and an artist. Teaching, working bread and butter jobs, whatever you need to do, having space, finding space, moving out of cities. When I moved from the city, I thought it was the worst mistake I'd ever made in my life, on some levels. And now with the way things have gone, I'm coming around. In the last 12 months, I'm going, oh, maybe it wasn't such a bad idea for me to do that. Maybe it hasn't been such a bad thing. It takes a bit of time to realise when you change your life so dramatically, and to accept some things and not accept other things, and just work out how you're going to, you know, continue to do what's important to you. I felt like I was in my own lockdown as soon as I moved to the country. I felt like I was self-isolating as soon as I moved from the city to the country, and I had no contact. I couldn't see my friends, all of that sort of stuff, and it was really difficult for me. But then when things like COVID came along, and I took some consolation in the fact that everybody else was locked down, isolated, and unable to travel and do all these things, and I went, well, okay. I didn't feel that I was missing out on all that much stuff.
When we were setting up, Bernadette had the following to say about painting, and I thought it was a lovely way to finish the podcast.
You're having a conversation with the painting when you're sitting in your studio all alone, or you're painting, aren't you? Well, you're supposed to be, I guess, to a point, and then you get into the zone. But there is that, yeah, you're always asking what you're doing.
You've been listening to Art Vox, a podcast talking to creatives with me, Rebecca Wilson, and this time with Bernadette Trella. You can find out more about Bernadette's work Just search for her on your socials under Bernadette Trella and on Instagram as Limerence Gallery. And you can also visit the site of 2026 Gallery in Bondi, where Bernadette has original works on display and for sale. The jingle at the start and finish of this podcast is by Nigel Nix Mouth Music and was provided by freesound.org. Until next time, thanks for listening.